Yeah, I think what Carolina does, I think, one, it starts with their scheme. These guys are really well coached. They do a tremendous job stopping the run, defending the run, and that starts up front. You know, when you've got Short and those guys up front with Kuechly and Davis and Shaq Thompson, you know, the versatility, athleticism that they have up front, and then the discipline that they have in the secondary, I think it all ties itself together. So they're a heck of a challenge. And then you get into the special situations, third down, red zone. They're very good in both of those as well. So we've got our work cut out for us. You know, we can really trust the plan and execute the plan to its highest level.
How are they different defense with Kuechly? I mean, what kind of impact is he?
Well, I think what Kuechly brings is just such a high football IQ. He's played a lot of football. He's got a really high IQ, and he knows their scheme so well. And I think he really understands how people try to attack their scheme and can correct things almost before they happen. You know, he sees things before they're happening. So he's a real challenge that way. Not to mention he's a heck of a player. He's a really good tackler, sideline to sideline player. But his instincts, I think, are what set him over the top.
Coach Quinn mentioned that there's more emphasis again this week on red zone and third downs. Is that the same work? Is everything the same that you focused on last week, or are there changes week to week based on?
Well, I think it changes a little week to week based on, you know, what is going to be our emphasis heading into the ball game and what we need to do to ensure our success when we're down there. And so there's no doubt that's going to be a key component to this game for sure. Carolina's an excellent red zone defense, and so, you know, our ability to plan, ultimately call, and then finally execute that plan is going to be really critical to the team's success on Sunday.
The opportunities to get the backs involved in the passing game, what have you seen through that as you've studied through the games that you've gone through so far? And I know they talked about Tevin, you know, not getting those opportunities in recent weeks, but what do you see as you analyze that whole?
Well, I see they're a heck of a matchup problem for defenses. And, you know, depending on formations and types of defenses we get, man coverage, zone coverage, you know, you can try to create some opportunities that way. You know, sometimes I know in the past couple weeks we've called a couple things specifically for Tevin. It wasn't the coverage we were looking for, and the ball ended up going somewhere else, which is natural in football. That happens, you know, when you're calling pass plays. Sometimes the defense can dictate where the ball is going to go on specific plays. So all in all, we know they're a great matchup for us against defenses. But ultimately, depending on how they want to play that matchup, the ball can go somewhere else. And we're fortunate to where we've got really good wideouts. We've got emerging tight end and Hooper who's coming along. So we can spread the ball around. And it's kind of, if you want to take this away, we can push the ball in different areas and still move the football effectively.
One other thing I wanted to ask you was, what is the balance when you think about the no huddle, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It seems like it works so effectively. Not
sure.
Just in a 2 minute, not.
No.
It seems like there's something that Matt's very comfortable with. What's the balance there? I know you don't want to tip strategy or anything, but what's the balance?
No, I think that's a really good question, because one, I think we're very comfortable when we don't huddle. I think that's shown in 2 minute. Just about every 2 minute drive we've had, we've been very effective when we've been doing so. When we've gone to traditional no huddle within game, not into a 2 minute scenario, it's been effective. And I think, you know, specific games depend on when we're going in, is it going to be a bigger part of the plan or not as big as part of the plan based on who we're playing? And so it varies from week to week. Oddly enough, last week it was probably going to be a little bit more part of the plan. Unfortunately, the elements were what they were, you know, and so, you know, you adjust on the fly. And we adjusted to quite a bit in that game last week, and it's a real credit to the players in adjusting along the way. And that was one of the adjustments. We did a little bit of the no huddle in the game, and it was good to us. And so, you know, it's always going to be a part of who we are. It's just a matter of week to week how much that is. And so, you know, percentage-wise, that's hard to say exactly, but it is a real part of our offense. It's not something we just do every once in a while. It's a part of our offense, and it's effective for us.
In talking to Julio earlier about the long ball out there in New York, mm-hmm. He said, got a good look. They were playing quarters, I think,
right.
He's low, and we always want to go over the top in that situation. Is that completely accurate? Assuming you're in the middle of the field and you've got room to go vertical, I mean, do some teams show that look but play different things potentially out of it? So you might not always have
without a doubt. I mean, you know, especially, you know, teams will show you that look, and at the snap they rotate to something different. Could be a cover two look, could be a three deep single safety look. So, you know, sometimes they show you one thing and give you another, and that's where the game planning comes into effect. And so Matt has a really good key of, you know, what are they showing you? What are they going to be in when the ball snapped? And so in that particular game, that was just a really good shot. We felt like going into the game when we got that look, we wanted to take that shot to do so. Again, weather permitting, we kind of didn't get as many shots as we would have wanted in the game, but we did take advantage of the one that we got, and it was a really critical play for us there to kind of turn the tide, flip the field, and continue to go down and score a touchdown. So, you know, we're always trying to find ways for who to get him over the top. He's such a big target. He's so strong down the field. And so week to week, it's, okay, what is the specific look we're looking for to go take that shot? And then making sure we're calling the plays accordingly. So when we get the look, we either have that play called or we have the ability to get to a similar play that gives him those chances.
When you're building a game plan one week to the other or to the next, surely you don't go in saying, okay, we're going to aim this many targets for Julio, this many for Mahomes, and so forth and so on. But do you have a good idea from film study whether more options are going to be available, more targets are going to be available for a player or two based on the opposing defensive philosophy?
Well, I think without a doubt, philosophically, you know, if a team's going to come in and say, we are going to double Julio the entire game and we're going to just make it so hard for you to throw the ball, it can get difficult to find him the number of catches that we would like him to have to really be a factor in the game, and so, or at least targets. And so that can dictate that. Or a team decides to only double him on third down, or a team decides to only double him in the red zone. So all those factors play into it. And a lot of times you go into the game thinking this team's not going to double him, they end up doubling him in the game. Or this team's going to double him 50% of the time, they only do it in the red area. So you make those in-game adjustments as well to take advantage of your opportunities when you get them.